Good morning. How's everybody? Who was here last weekend for Resurrection Sunday? Wasn't that a great weekend? We had three great services, then had a great outdoor event. I think we baptized around 15 people. Praise God. Today I want to keep talking about King Jesus. Would that be okay? Last week I talked about Jesus being the King of heaven and earth, but he's not just the King, he's the King of all kings. But I honed in on my third point was a question directed at each of us, and that is he your King? And last week I made the point clear that we can refer to him as Savior, but that doesn't mean we've made him King of our life, where he's in charge of every area of our life. And so today I want to take a step backwards, and I want to talk about how do you know you're really saved? And the reason I find this interesting is because we're going to look at a story today from Scripture where Jesus had a conversation with a very religious person who thought he was saved, but he wasn't. And he didn't know he wasn't saved until Jesus had a conversation with him about something that was a must in his life. And I'm just wondering if that's still true today. People who grew up in church, people who attend church regularly, who read their Bible, they have crosses everywhere, they have fish on every car. Could it still be possible that they're not really saved and they think they are? That would be troubling. It was troubling to the man that Jesus had the conversation with. So I thought we might talk about that today. Would that be all right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Jesus, thank you for being King. Thank you for being our Savior and Lord. Thank you for making it possible for us to be saved from a eternal destination of destruction to eternal life. Thank you that you made a way possible for us not to have to die for our sins, that you died in our place and made it possible for us to put our faith in you and be spared that. I pray that everybody here today and those watching online would have ears to hear what you told that man, and in a sense what you're telling each of us today. I hope we have ears to hear and a heart that would be responsive. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 3. This is a message that I've preached in the past, but it's been a while. We have a lot of new people in our church that weren't here when I last preached a message like this, and I wanted to take time since we're talking about King Jesus. This is something King Jesus made very clear to that man. John chapter 3, you probably know the man's name who I'm talking about, Nicodemus. You remember the story of the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus? Nick came to him one night, Nick at night came late to have a conversation with Jesus. And he came wanting answers to some of his questions, but like Jesus, he just went another direction. Now, something about Nicodemus before I read the text. He's wealthy, well-educated, a powerful religious leader. He was a Pharisee. He was a Jewish know-it-all. You know somebody like that? One of the most influential men in religious circles in Israel. Yet, he didn't know it all. And Jesus brings something to his attention that he needed to know. And so if you will, let's look at that text. It's John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs or these miracles that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, now it's interesting, it says that Jesus answered. Nicodemus wasn't asking a question. He was just making a compliment, an observation. And I think Jesus knew the heart behind his questions or the reason he was coming to have that conversation. And like Jesus, he just wanted to get right to the point. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly," anytime you see "truly" twice, it means you better listen up. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again," say that with me, "born again," again, "born again, he cannot," say that word, "cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again, can he?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed, you long-term religious people, you know-it-alls, you who attend church 3 times a week, do not be amazed that I'm saying to you, you must be born again." 3 times, Jesus tells this man, you must be born again. In fact, if you have your Bibles, or maybe you're looking at it digitally, it might have the subtitle, "The New Birth." The new birth. Two kingdoms, two births. So first I want to make a few comments about this story, and then I want to share a few points for us today. In fact, I'm thinking in threes. That's the Trinity. I want to share 3 comments, and then I want to make 3 points. And the last one's going to be pointed at you, so get ready. My first comment is this: Nicodemus was a very religious man and still was missing something. Jesus knew who he was, but Jesus knew that he had to have the conversation with him about being in God's kingdom. Last week we talked about 2 kingdoms. There's the worldly kingdom that we live in, and then there's a heavenly kingdom that we want to belong to. Now and forever. What a shock it must have been for Nicodemus to learn that his religious status was not enough for salvation. Never is. The second point I want to make is Nicodemus believed in God. He believed in God, yet was still missing something. That's a little bit intriguing, isn't it? How many times have we said, "Do you believe in God?" And somebody says, "Well, yeah." And you go, "Oh, good, they're good to go." No, not according to Jesus. Nicodemus believed in God. He said, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do the things that you do unless God is with him." But that wasn't enough. Believing in God is not enough. Being religious is not enough. Jesus knew that Nicodemus, like he knows all men, and Jesus knew he needed more than what he had. He needed a Savior. He didn't need good, sound religion. He needed a Savior. He needed regeneration. He needed to be born again spiritually. He needed more than the law. He needed more than just keeping the rules and living a godly life. He needed eternal life. And so Jesus cuts to the chase and says, you must be born again. And then we see Nicodemus, my third point. Nicodemus attempts to reason in the natural. How can a man be born again and go back into his mother's womb? He wasn't getting it. It was obvious from the text. He was looking at this through natural eyes. Listen, you can't look at God's kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, with natural eyes. Amen. The world does that. The world looks at religion with natural eyes. There's a lot of people who call themselves Christians, but because they've never been born again, they don't have spiritual eyes to see. They see things in the natural. And if they're not careful, they'll be misguided by believing that if I'm just good, if I just give God lip service, if I go to church every week, that certainly if I die, I go to heaven. And Jesus is sitting here looking at this Pharisee, and a lot of times the Pharisees get dogged by Jesus, some of them do, but generally speaking, Pharisees were the elite examples of God followers. Nicodemus was one of those. Nicodemus was a good, godly man. Yet Jesus needed to have the conversation with him. And Jesus explains that there's two births. There's a natural birth and a spiritual birth. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Therefore, he says, don't be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. When you were born the first time, it was a natural birth. It was a birth of water, right? And when the mother's water breaks, you better be close to a physician, a doctor, or a hospital. But he said, you also need to be born again, a spiritual birth. When you're born the first time, you're born with a sin nature. When you're born again, now you have a sinless nature. And those two will always be at battle. Every born-again person has two natures. The old nature from the old birth and the new nature from the new birth. And they are in constant conflict. In fact, Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 7. The conflict of the two natures. He says, I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Anybody? I'm in that group, right? I love God's law with all my heart. Yes, I do. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. This is Paul. This is Saul to Paul. This is Saul got knocked off his horse and had a great encounter with God. Who's talking here? Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Listen, it's a real battle. It's a real battle. Which is, listen, this is going to sound weird, which is a good thing. It's good. If you have that battle, it's a good thing. Because people that haven't been born again, they don't have a battle. So the fact that you have a battle might be good news. It doesn't mean you are born again, but it's kind of good news that points to maybe you are, and you're experiencing this battle like Paul did. The note I had here is, if you enjoy sinning more than pleasing God, there's a good chance you may not be born again. That's the point I'm trying to make with Paul's story. The fact that he was bothered by the sin in his life was a good indicator. If you're not bothered by sin, I think you should look within and do a heart checkup. In Ephesians, Paul says, check your heart and see. Make sure that the Holy Spirit's with you. So what can we learn from Nick's story about this new birth? So three points. Number one, you must be. Look at your neighbor and say, must be. You must be born again. It's not should be, can be, hey, if you are, great, life will be better. No, it's a necessary requirement for salvation and eternal life, period. If you're not born again, listen, you won't wake up in heaven. Is that clear enough? Jesus said, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I wonder how many people think they're in good standing because they do all the good things that Christians do, but really aren't born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. So the title of my sermon today, if you have your sermon notes, is, Are You Born Again? I'm going to get to that third point in a minute, but that's why I titled the sermon the way I did, because it's really important that you ask yourself that question and know the answer. Here's point number two. Many are not born again. Many have not been born again. Even many who think they have, maybe have not been. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are, say that word with me, many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are, say that word, few who find it. Jesus said, many are on the wrong road and few are on the right road. Now, this is not a trick question, but is many more than or less than few? So Jesus is saying more people will die and go to hell than those who will die and go to heaven. So this thought that you hear out there on the internet is that all good people go to heaven. That's not from Jesus. Now, if you're following Jesus, you should follow what he says, not what the world says. You should believe what he says over what the world says. Some people that are just really mercy and grace motivated will say, I think in the end, God will have mercy on everybody and we'll all end up in heaven. That was his original plan. Yes, it was his original plan, but his plan doesn't work the way you think it should. Last week, we talked about how people try to change the rules of God's house. His rules never change. He said, I am the only way to the Father. I am the only way to salvation, eternal life. You can't get there any other way. You can't go around me. You can't go above me. You can't go under me. You got to go right through me. Amen. When's the last time you went to a funeral and heard somebody say, you know, Joe was just a scoundrel and he's in hell today? I've never been to one. No, what do you hear at most funerals? Joe's in a better place. You know, and half the audience is going, I'm not sure. Maybe he doesn't know Joe. No, it's just wired in us to want to believe the best, even though we might think, Joe missed the boat. Right? God's a God of love and grace. Joe's now in a better place. And if you believe that, then the devil will tell you, if Joe made it, you will. Well, listen, Joe didn't make it, honey. And you better make sure you're born again, like Jesus said, if you want to be there. And then Jesus, and this is a scripture that's bothered me for a long time. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. It's possible that you can call him Lord, but you haven't made him Lord. I've read this verse many times, and what popped out at me this week was, it says, not everyone who says to me, not everyone who confesses or professes the name of Lord. It doesn't mean he's Lord just because they call him Lord. It says, but those who what? Do what he says. those who have made him king and follow the king's rules. You can say, you can call him Lord. Doesn't mean he is. And if he's not, you're not born again. He says, many, there's the word again, many will say to me on that day, we're talking about a judgment day, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And I'm thinking, I do those things. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, I do know him. He knows me. I had a dramatic born-again experience when I was 26 years of age. But what I found interesting about this verse is before I became born again, I had no interest in doing any of those things he just mentioned. So I'm sitting here wondering, how can somebody do those things and still not be good to go? But evidently, Jesus said it's possible. He said, I never knew you. You did all these things at church. You did these good acts of kindness and generosity for your neighbors and around the world. But listen, you and I never had a personal relationship. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There's another phrase there, practice lawlessness. Those who remain living in sin, even though you go to church again and again and again, you can still live a double life. And I think those people are in danger, according to what we're reading here. So my third point is this. Well, Pastor Bob, help me here. How can I know for sure if I'm born again? And I can't tell you that. It's a bit of a mystery. And the reason it's a mystery is it's invisible. It's a step we take by faith that should be evidenced by some kind of change. Anytime there's transformation, it means there's going to be a transform, something changes. And if you say, well, I was born a Christian, you might not be born again. I'm just helping you here. Hopefully I'm helping you. And it's never too late. Listen, Nicodemus, he was up in age. He was a religious know-it-all. And he didn't find out this news until late in life, but thank God he found out the news before it was too late. Don't let pride keep you from making sure that you're good to go with being born again spiritually. The Bible says we can know. 1 John 5:13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And so, from my vantage point, there's two ways we can know. There's scriptural proof, and then there's evidential proof, experiential proof. 1 John 5:1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, is born of God. There's an inward evidence we call faith, but we get it by conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's who convicts us that we have a sin problem and we need a Savior. It's the Holy Spirit's conviction that leads us to want to put our faith in Jesus Christ. John 1:12 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will. I would also say the wife's will. That's natural birth. But they're born of God. They're born again spiritually. And there's other scriptures that talk about that. So one, we know that being born again is focused in on believing, putting your faith in Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. But then there should be some experiential proof. Jesus said you will know them or recognize them by their fruit. There should be some sort of both inward evidence and outward evidence that you're a new creature in Christ, that something happened. I used to teach children in children's church, no Jesus, no change. But the reverse is true. No change, no Jesus. If you say you got saved at 12, but nothing really changed in your life, I'm not sure you got born again. It might have been conception. You know, when you conceive, that baby doesn't pop out the next day. It takes 9 months to produce a birth. There might have been a seed planted when you were 12 or 15 or 18 or 20, but you've not been born again spiritually. Maybe just a seed was planted waiting to give birth. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if they're truly born again, they're a what? New creature. Old things passed away, behold, new things have come. So when I was 12 years old, I took a spiritual religious class and got baptized with all the other 12-year-old boys in my church. Anybody have a similar story to that? Okay. But nothing really changed. In fact, things got worse as I grew older and learned how to sin really good. But then when I was 26 and the Lord convicted me of the life I was living and I surrendered all to Christ, that's when I became born again. And boy, did things change. That's my wife. She knew me before and she knew me after. She liked the boy before. She had troubles with this new creature. She said, Bobby, can you just like not talk about Jesus all the time? Can you just like when we're around our friends, you're kind of embarrassing? And I'm thinking, she ain't got what I got. A few months later, she finally came around and she got born again, and now we're equally yoked. Amen? Amen. But there should be some kind of a change with your character, whether you obey God or not, with your worship. You should look forward to worshiping God. It's not a have to, it's a get to, it's a want to. The way you work, your work ethic, the way you love God, the way you love people, the words that you speak. You know, this weekend, I just finished my message and I was working on some other things and Tammy came in and she was bugging me about something. And I just blew up. And some hateful words came out of my mouth. And she left. She said something like, you know, get behind me. Did that ever happen in your home? Okay, all right. And I turned around, and I heard the devil laughing, and he goes, and you're going to preach this to your audience? I said, I am, because it's still the truth, even though I fell short. It's still the truth. That there should be a change in your vocabulary. Now watch, here's my point. The old Bob wouldn't have thought twice about what happened. The new Bob, it really bugged me. It really bugged me. I lost all my peace. And until she came back into the house an hour later, and I said, hey, I'm sorry, because I was convinced. I am so sorry. What I said was just totally wrong. Would you forgive me? And she said, I do. See, that's the point of whether you know, are you right with God or not? When you were born physically, you were born, I said it last week, you were born headed in the wrong direction. And then when you get born again, God puts you in the right direction. So I brought a little object lesson here. When you're born into this world, you're born headed for destruction. You were born with a fallen, sinful nature. All people are born since Adam and on. Okay, Noah and on, because those that first bunch got wiped out. But since Noah, reboot. Since Noah, work with me. Since Noah, everybody's been born headed in the wrong direction. And unless you get born again and repent, you like this? You thinking of children's church? Still in me. But I bet you'll remember this. Unless you get born again and get God to head you in the right direction, you will not see eternal life. Now here's where I want to go with this. Before I changed, I was headed in the wrong direction. It didn't bug me when I sinned. You know what bugged me? It's when my parents wanted to take me to church. When they told me I shouldn't cuss and do bad things. You feel it? You feel that? It's just hard. It's hard to live a godly life. Yeah, because you're not born again yet. But then finally at 26, when I got born again, watch, I just wanted all from God. I quit doping and smoking and looking at all the things. And then when I had the temptation, it really bugged me to even think about what I used to love to do. That's a good indication that you've gone through a transformational change and you're truly born again. Listen, if you go to church and you still love going out on weekends and partying and getting drunk and going to the strip clubs and all that, listen, I seriously wonder, are you truly born again? That was the conversation that Jesus had to have with Nick that night. Did Nicodemus ever get born again? Many think he did. In fact, if you're in life groups, there's another. I want you to keep reading John chapter 3 because Jesus explains to Nick about salvation using an illustration that Nick understood. But you got to go to life group for that. Three times Nicodemus is mentioned in the book of John. John chapter 3, his conversation with Jesus. John chapter 7, his conversation with the Sanhedrin about Jesus, who were after Jesus. And it seems like in the one sentence that's in the Bible, he's trying to stand up for Jesus. Most Pharisees didn't do that. But in John 19, we read that he was helping Joseph of Arimathea prepare Jesus' body for burial. That's something a Pharisee would never have thought of. And from that, we assume, presume, hope that somewhere in that journey of Nicodemus, like in your journey, he realized, I'm not born again and I need to be. And he did whatever was necessary to get there. So as I close the message today, what do you hear God saying to you? I hope it's been loud and clear that you must be born again. And my question is, are you? Are you? If you're not sure, you can be. In fact, today would be the best day to settle that. If you're not sure, just go ahead and be really sure. In fact, just pray the prayer. Say, Lord, I'm not sure if I'm born again spiritually or not, but I sure want to be. Today it was really clear to me. I need to be. I must be. I don't want to miss the boat. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer where you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is your Savior, but also he wants to be your Lord, and with that prayer, we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come and transform your heart out with the old, in with the new. And if you really do it with a sincere heart, I believe in the days ahead, you're going to begin to experience the change that I've talked about, and you'll know that my prayer was heard, my prayer was answered, and I'm born again, and I'm good to go. Would you bow your heads? If you're watching online, you can say this prayer with me. If you're here in the house with us today, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you. Sometimes I go easy. Today, I think I want to ramp it up a bit. I'm not going to ask you to come forward where I can nail you to a cross. That's what Jesus did for you. But I am going to ask you to take a stand for him. If you're here in the house and you're not sure and want to be, I want you to stand. If you can't stand in the house of God, you're not going to stand out there in the world. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? You going to take a stand for Jesus? Thank you, ma'am. Where are the men? Need some men. Come on, men. Come on, men. Take a stand. Take a stand. Let God know, I hear you. I'm not playing around. You may not get another chance. While you're breathing, you can make a choice in your right mind. That's the best time to do it. Don't waste another day wondering. Wonder will weigh you down. It's not good to wonder about your eternal future. Anybody else? Now listen, I'm not trying to bring doubt into your faith. If you know for sure that you're born again, stay seated. If you're not 100% certain, stand, and we're going to make sure today. All right, for those that are standing, I just want you to Confess with your heart and believe. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart that what you're saying is genuine. You really mean this. Are you ready? Just say this. Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner, and the penalty for my sin is eternal death. That's what I deserve. That's not what I want. Today I'm standing for you, and I'm telling you in front of others that I want to be born again spiritually. Maybe I didn't know I needed it, but boy, do I know now. I want to be born again spiritually. I've been born naturally, but now I want to be born spiritually. And so today with my mouth, I'm confessing you as the Son of God who died for my sins and rose to defeat death and to make victory possible for everyone that's living life, including me. Today, I'm putting my faith in you. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come and do a transformational work in my heart and in my mind. I don't want to be the same old Joe. I want to be a new creature. I want to think the way you think. I want to act the way you act. I want to obey you as my king. I want sin to bother me. I want to hate sin the way you hate sin. Change me, Lord. Change me, Holy Spirit. Take out that old flesh, sin-focused heart. Take it out of me. And give me a brand new heart that's been regenerated. Give me a heart transplant today. And let me never be the way I was. But make me to be who you made me to be. And that's a son or a daughter of the living God. So today I receive this gift. I receive this work. And from this day forward, I'm not only going to call you Savior, but I'm going to call you my Lord, my King. It's not about me anymore. It's all about you, Jesus. Have your way with me. I am now born again, and I'm in your kingdom. I'm a citizen of heaven. Now and forevermore. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap. Let's all stand and let's worship God as we go out. I love you. I'll see you next week.